Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can neither perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of the living God upon which we meditate this third Sunday after Easter is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In the name of Jesus the Christ, the source of real, lasting peace, dear fellow redeemed, in his precious blood. What do you need right now? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Toilet paper, hand sanitizer, a face mask, a new job, a little social interaction. Maybe the pastor stopped asking questions. What do I need? It's a personal question, one depending upon a number of factors. How well have I been handling the quarantine? Have I been able to leave the house? Am I craving a particular food? There's a can of worms to open. Let me ask another question. What did Jesus' disciples need more than anything else the evening of the first day of the week? Well, certainly their needs were different than ours, right? Or were they? Let's think about it for a moment. They were voluntarily behind closed doors, afraid of what the future might bring to them, and they felt alone. Well, surely their fears were different than ours, right? Or were they? They were afraid of the future, about what might happen to them. When Jesus had suddenly been arrested and condemned and crucified, and the same people that made it happen had gone after other followers of Jesus before, even kicking them out of the synagogue? That was frightening. They may have even heard how Jesus' tomb had been sealed and guarded. Perhaps finally they also heard what the Roman soldiers were saying, that Jesus' disciples had come by night and stolen the body away. So are we afraid? Are we afraid of the future, about what might happen to us and our country? Are we afraid of the COVID-19 virus? Oh, we'd probably all insist, "No, I'm not afraid of that." But what if cases ramp up the next couple of days? What if someone you know personally develops it and dies? We still wonder what life is going to be like when this is all over. Will I lose my job? Will I see my loved ones again? I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm really not. I'm just pointing out that things really aren't all that different for us than they were for Jesus' disciples on the evening of that first day of the week. We need the same thing that they needed. What did Jesus' disciples need more than anything else? They needed Jesus. They needed peace, and that's what Jesus alone can give. Peace in the face of death, peace in chaotic times, peace with God. We are reminded this morning further that Christ's peace isn't only meant for Christ's disciples. Christ's peace is to be dispensed by his disciples to the whole world. Let us pray. God of peace, we turn aside from a world of chaos and noise, seeking rest for our spirits and calm for our thoughts. We turn to you for cleansing, healing, forgiveness, and renewed hope. In you, there is perfect peace. Draw us to you and silence the noise in our hearts and minds. Help us to worship you and to find peace in Jesus through your word. Take away the loneliness of self and fill us with the fullness of your peace. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember your children's first words? Mama, Dada, no! As I remember it, the first word that came out of my youngest sister Evelyn's mouth was, Jamie. Jamie. Yup, Jamie. It was what the next door lady would stand on the porch and yell around supper time. She would call out for her son, my friend, Jamie. I guess my little sister was listening. And she took up her son's name one day. First words are often important. So what were the first words that Jesus spoke to those women on their way back from the empty tomb? Rejoice. What were the words that Jesus spoke to his assembled disciples on the evening of that first day of the week? Peace be with you. Actually, in both cases, Jesus' words were common greetings. We say things like, hello, good morning, how are you? The Jews often greeted one another with two greetings, rejoice and peace be with you. In fact, to this day, some ethnic Jews still greet one another with the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. Now, the words may have been common, but the circumstance was far from common. They were beginning to come around on the whole resurrection thing, and some of them had actually seen Jesus alive that day. Some of the women met him on the way back from the tomb. Mary Magdalene met him at the tomb. Simon Peter had seen Jesus, even though we don't know the circumstances. The Emmaus disciples had seen and walked and talked with Jesus. In fact, they were just recounting the event, according to Luke's gospel, when boom, he was standing in the middle of them. The Gospel of John reports it rather matter-of-factly. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. It doesn't say that Jesus came and knocked on the door and came in. It doesn't say that he came through a window, for goodness sake. It says simply that suddenly he was standing there in the midst of them. Now, we might have expected excitement or joy. After all, a moment before, they were excitedly telling how Peter had seen Jesus alive and how the Emmaus disciples had seen him alive when suddenly he was standing there. But they weren't excited. They were afraid, even terrified. The Gospel of Luke records the same event and tells us they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. But why would they be afraid? This wasn't the first time that they had witnessed the miraculous. No. And on those other occasions, they were also often afraid. He had walked on water. They thought he was a ghost. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. They were beginning to believe that he was alive, but when he suddenly appeared, they were afraid. Why would they be afraid? I suppose there's the obvious. Some of them had seen him die. Some of them had watched his body laid to rest, wrapped in strips of linen with the spices. Why would they be afraid? Some of them had promised, insisted even, that they would never leave him. They had all said, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And yet the last time they were all together, they had done just that. They had turned and run. Would things be different with Jesus? Would he disown them? Would he deny them as they had denied him? They were in need of peace, of comfort, of forgiveness. And so that's exactly what Jesus gave them when he first saw them. He didn't just wish them peace. He didn't say, "Oh, someday in the future you will find peace." He gave them the peace of mind that they needed. He simply said to them, "Peace be with you." It's the same thing that we need here today. We've been locked up in our homes with our sinful thoughts and sinful mouths. We've had time to let fear take hold of us and doubts to enter our minds. Is the world as we know it ever going to be the same? The world's going to change. But our Jesus will always be the same. God's word assures us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So also is his peace, his comfort, and his forgiveness. Notice that Jesus didn't only say, "Peace be with you." He also did something for them and for us. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You know, it's one thing to offer peace, but it's another thing to produce the proof of peace obtained. When Jesus said, "Peace be with you," it wasn't wishful thinking. It wasn't an empty pie in the sky kind of peace. It wasn't fake, like those unrealistic Christmas car commercials where someone gives someone else a brand new car complete with a big red bow on the top. Who does that? Jesus offered and gave them peace of heart and mind because he had obtained it. He paid the price to make things right with God. He had offered his body and shed his blood. He wasn't only proving that it was really him, really the same Jesus. When the living Jesus showed them his hands and his side, he was showing them the receipt. It's one thing to offer peace. It is another thing to offer proof of peace obtained. Jesus gave them real peace. He wasn't just saying, "Don't be afraid of the religious leaders. Look what they did to me. It didn't stop me." He wasn't just saying, "Don't be afraid of what you've done. I've taken care of it." He wasn't just saying, "Oh, don't be afraid. I'm not a ghost. Here, let me eat some fish in front of you." He was saying, "Look here. Read the not so fine print on my hands and on my side. I paid the price for your sins. It really is finished, like I said before. On Friday, on the cross." Let's be clear. Jesus came to obtain peace with God. Not peace between human beings. That's fragile and fickle. He came to destroy the enmity created when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the enmity built upon by every one of us every day when we sin in thought, word, and action. And it's why he's called the Prince of Peace. It's why the angels offered a preview to startled shepherds on the evening of his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Christ came to obtain forgiveness of sins and peace with God so that the Apostle Paul could later write, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But that peace wasn't only obtained for the men behind those closed doors and for the ladies that were there present. No, indeed. For the Spirit of God has seen fit to record this message for you and for me. This peace, purchased with the blood of the Son of God, is intended for every human being. Which is why Jesus repeated his amazing greeting and commissioned his disciples on the first day of the week to share his peace with the world. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." As I understand it, someone once asked Martin Luther if he wished that John 3:16 read, "For God so loved Martin Luther that he gave his only begotten son." I understand Martin replied, "No, because I would always wonder if it was a different Martin Luther." The scripture says that God so loved the world, and that includes me and everyone else. It's likewise important here to understand to whom these words were spoken. Whom did Jesus authorize to share his peace? Who was all present there behind those shut doors when the living Jesus appeared? It wasn't just Peter. It wasn't just the 10 disciples remaining. It wasn't just the Emmaus disciples and the other followers of Jesus. In fact, today, that number includes each one of you. This work doesn't only belong to Peter, or to the 12, or to those sent out by Christ himself. This work doesn't only belong to the men that Christian congregations call to administer the sacrament of baptism and to serve the Lord's Supper. What Jesus here has to say is meant for all of those who trust in Christ. He has work for us all. This work belongs to the entire church of Jesus. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus spoke these words to all of his assembled disciples, including you. He equips you by sending the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament so that you can share the peace that he purchased and won with his own body and blood. You, a believer, can forgive the sins of any, and he stands behind you, and the sins stand forgiven. You, a believer, can tell someone that their sins are bound to them, and he stands behind you, and their sins are bound to them. When the pastor declares, "I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," it isn't his forgiveness. It's the peace of Christ. He's only doing what Christ here authorizes all of us to do in these words. The forgiveness belongs to Jesus. He earned it. He paid the price to obtain it. It doesn't belong to any other single man or church. Christ's peace is meant for the whole world. But to obtain it, it is necessary that the world see its sin and guilt. It's necessary that the world understand that it cannot make peace or arrange for it any other way. Jesus' death was necessary to atone for real sins and real guilt. Christ's peace is meant for those who know that sin, who feel that guilt, and that fear. Christ's peace is meant for the whole world, which is why Jesus says, "If you forgive the sins of any." He doesn't only want our friends and family to possess this peace, but even our enemies, which is why we do not withhold Christ's peace from any who confess their sins and seek it in him. But we are not to offer his peace to those who reject Jesus or who boldly live in sin. Rather, when that friend comes to you and says, "I've tried so hard to be a good person, but I failed. I've hurt people with my mouth and with my actions. I've done things I regret. I wish I could get a do-over. I've hurt the people I love. I've sinned against God. How can I ever make things right?" And that's when you can give Christ's peace. You can say, "You can't make things right. You don't need to. Jesus has done it. It is finished. Let me tell you about real peace, peace that comes from God, peace that's found in Christ. He paid my debt, and you know I had one. He also paid yours. Jesus sinners doth receive, also I have been forgiven. And when I this earth must leave, I shall find an open heaven. Dying still to him I cleave. Jesus sinners doth receive. It's the peace we need. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus till life everlasting. Amen.